different kinds of trash. You just don't see it anymore. Yeah! Come on!
Certain kinds of trash.
Listening to Damaged Goods on Little Riley Radio. My name is Matt Dunn, sometimes known as DJ Two-Headed Dog, sometimes known as good old What's-His-Face, and I have a couple guests in the studio. Are you there for a special guest?
Yes, this is me, Chris Lahr, a.k.a. DJ Dune Sting. It's good to be here once again. Thank you for having me.
Yes, yes, and last but not least, we have another guest in the studio.
This is the second special guest, Emily Davidson, and I don't have a DJ name, so you all have to decide on what that's going to be.
Well, we've got some time to simmer on that one, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
We can come up with something. We can organize it.
We can, yeah. We just got to go through certain kinds of trash, come up with an idea, and, you know. But speaking of, yeah, we just heard that was Chain in the Gang. From Washington, D.C., the track was called Certain Kinds of Trash, and that was off of the Best of Crime Rock album. That was from the in the Red Records label there. And, yeah, that was, I don't know, that song just always makes me laugh because he's talking about, you know, stuff you don't find in the dumpster anymore. And, you know, I don't know how often you crawl through dumpsters, but I know I do all the time. And, you know, and
just all the rave.
Yeah. And, you know, used to find like old videotapes and stuff. And it's hard to find those these days. So.
I had a friend that recently found one of those old style beer tabs, you know, the kind of that, before they attached it to the can, you know, when beer was freestyling.
When beer was freestyling.
Why did they stop doing that?
Litter, I think. Oh. I'm sure some kid swallowed it or something, and they had to... The man came down on the beer industry and said, you got to change your tabs. I got to admit, I'm feeling naked up here because you both have like these really cool hats with pom-poms on the top, and I got nada.
Yeah, but...
You didn't get the memo? You're supposed to bring your hat.
No, well, you didn't tell me, dude.
How are people going to see your spiky Billy Idol hair, though, if you're not... Or Dune Sting, or Sting from Dune hair, I should say, if you're wearing a hat.
Like if Billy Idol and Sting had a baby, that would be me.
Yeah, I agree.
And then they put a hat on it?
Yes. There, see, she understands.
I do understand.
She does, indeed.
The need for a hat.
She gets me.
Well, speaking of getting you, yeah, so we brought in a book to read this week on the show. We're just going to read it out loud front to back, right? Well, I mean, it's a lot of photos, so I guess there's not.
Yeah, we'll read the book of photos out loud.
Yeah, we... Emily, what is this book that you brought in?
So this is my coffee table book. It's called Police Confidential, and it's photos taken by their roadie, Danny. I can't pronounce his last name. So I actually looked it up today, and not only was he a roadie for the police, but he was apparently labeled Sting's right-hand man. And I,
oh, really?
Don't really know what that entails, but...
he was, like, murdering people for Sting.
He took a lot of pictures.
Right.
Like, a lot of pictures. And most of them, they're not wearing very much clothing. So, you know, take that as you will.
If your name is Sting, you can't be constricted by that little thing called clothing.
Right. Exactly.
And he wasn't at any time in this whole book.
Yeah, I've been flipping through it. This book is awesome.
There's a whole Dune section, you know, just in case you were...
Oh, I love it.
And Chris loves Dune, so... That's...
Dune and the police. You
know. Yeah, so...
That's an all-in-one book.
I know, this is like the best thing ever. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
And it's... and Chris has a... As I think we mentioned on the show before, he has a police tattoo.
Now the symbols are from Ghost in the Machine, which was the first album I ever bought, and probably my favorite album.
And
love it.
When is your Desert Rose tattoo from Sting's illustrious solo career? When are you?
It'll happen on a brand new day.
Oh, I like that. I like now that I would pay to watch. But yeah,
see, you don't know this, but we always make sure we take at least 1 minute out of our radio show to trash new Sting. We like Sting classic, but new Sting, you know.
Oh, so it's a special segment.
Yeah, we always seem to make time for that, don't we?
It's like the
it's our thing.
Sting, the Sting minute or the Sting second. I don't know. It's like the, you know, 60 seconds of Sting talk. I don't know.
It's important to make time for the things that you love.
Right.
And the Stings that you love. And we
exactly.
Love the old Sting. Not the
only
Sting.
The old Sting, but not the new Sting.
Not the new Sting.
But if you love somebody, set them free.
Oh!
So... I mean, you know, he has a point there, right?
He does.
Yeah. Have you let his Sting's musical career go yet, or are you still holding on?
I probably stopped after Nothing Like the Sun. I think that was the last Sting album I bought. I hadn't bought any of his other stuff after that, except for okay. That one he did with Shaggy.
Which
I did that.
Have you heard that album yet, Emily?
No.
You've heard the Sting.
it's not good.
Are you going to play that next?
Yeah, it's... Shang, I think, is that what they call it when they combine their names? Shang, is that?
That sounds like a weird, like, symptom of a disease you get.
Or like a really bad, like, third-rate Mortal Kombat character. Like, Shang. Yeah. Shing, instead of Shang Tsung, Shing.
Finish him.
Yeah.
But instead of, like, killing him, he just plays a really bad solo and the guy just dies of boredom.
Pretty much, yeah.
Fatality.
Shing.
Shing.
I like it.
Yeah.
I've got this gnarly Shing. You know, on my elbow from the...
Death by listening to the Sting and Shaggy album all the way through from
you know,
the back.
Yeah, it's a byproduct of listening to that, so...
You need an ointment to help.
But you gotta have that album on vinyl the way it was...
Only.
...meant to be heard originally back in...
To truly appreciate all the musical nuances.
Right.
That's right.
Well, there's a lot of nuances there.
Well... Who do you both think Sting should collaborate next with? Who would be another Like, how could he upgrade from Shaggy? Like, what would be the next step?
I'm going to have to go with Lil Yachty.
Okay. All right. That's interesting.
I'm going to go in the opposite direction. I'm going to go with Rod Stewart.
Oh.
I think that they should all collaborate.
A trio.
I would listen to it.
Well, they did.
I would. Yeah.
Sting, Rod Stewart, and Bryan Adams did that song together for the Three Musketeers soundtrack. All for One, if you remember that one.
Mm-hmm. They should cover that song.
Yeah, that's a... Maybe why didn't they do a whole album together? That could have been, you know...
Rain and Money.
Right. It's like the three horsemen of the soft rock apocalypse.
It's like the... My sister just messaged in. She compliments us on our Sting banter.
Okay, well, yes, thank you.
My sister's a regular listener.
Which I'm thankful for, so.
Her name is... Yeah, actually, Shannon told me she emailed Damaged Goods saying that she wanted me back.
Yes, yeah, so Shannon, your wish has been granted. Call me Zoltar. I've granted your wishes.
You could have wished to be big, but you said you'd get me on the radio.
Yeah. Oh, we actually... me and Emily actually ran into Zoltar the other day, so... did you know he lives in Crabtree Mall now?
They actually have a Zoltar machine?
Yes, they do.
Wow.
They do. In Belk's, the Belk's department store. Wasn't it in like the women's section or something?
Yeah, we went and we got our fortune. We only had enough change for one fortune, so we had to share. And it told us that we were going to be rich. Mm. So we had to go buy a lotto ticket afterwards. We didn't win. But... that's basically all there is to that.
Right.
It was really weird.
But it'll happen. Zoltar works in mysterious ways.
All I'm saying is Zoltar promised me a lot and then didn't deliver.
Right. This is true.
Well, Zoltar's got a full platter, you know.
he's busy.
He's granting wishes left and right at the Belk store.
Yeah, I mean, I really wish for a gift card to appear out of nowhere so I can afford all these expensive clothes.
I wanted that double-sized George Foreman grill and that in the upstairs level.
Oh, yeah, because we were like, wait, is it going to be in the women's section or the men? You know, because they have two different... stores inside.
Entirely different stores. I don't know why that is.
Yeah, I mean,
there's got to be a reasoning.
It'd be like if there were two Spencer's gifts in the mall. Like, I mean, that would be just too much.
That'd be too much.
Yeah. That would... I mean, could you handle two Spencer's gifts? Or,
you know, it's, when I was a kid and I went to the mall, the only two stores I would ever go into was Spencer's and the arcade.
Yeah.
Everything else could go fuck off.
Yeah. Well, that's right. That's the spirit.
That's the spirit.
So Spencer's are currently your favorite mall store, or do you have a...
At the mall, probably. I mean, where else can you buy cheap head shop wear and posters and black lights?
What about the Croc store? You're not really as big into that?
Actually, the Lego store is pretty sweet. I'll take Ethan into that.
Okay, yeah.
He loves it. You can play with all the Legos there, catch a communicable disease. Good times.
Right. Yeah, I guess that's what you do now because the arcade is closed, so...
I miss the arcade. Now it's all barcades, you know.
But, which is a little bit of a different vibe, for sure. Because, well, for one, you can't spend $50 to get... like a cheap crappy prize anymore. Well, you can, but you have to go to, you know, like a special place. But yeah, you know you go to the mall and you'd spend $50 to get the Chinese finger trap and like one of those little parachute army men and I don't know, you'll
and a individually wrapped Twizzler,
right? Right. So I just kind of feel like and if you really hit the jackpot, you could get like a mood ring.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
I got one of those once and it turned my finger green.
It's pretty great.
I think it was trying to tell me, you know, my mood, my whole hand.
Exactly. Yeah, and I had a couple of birthdays at Aladdin's Castle at the Crabtree Mall, which was one of the old arcades there, and it was quite a time.
Aladdin's Castle?
That was the name of the arcade.
That was a chain.
Yeah, it was.
There was another one chain called Time Out.
Oh, the food place?
No, there was a rival arcade, you know, like...
Oh!
You find Aladdin Castles at malls, but there's another one that mall's called Time Out.
Oh, I don't know about that one.
So, like, you either had the malls that had Aladdin's Castle or Time Out.
Yeah, so you remember Aladdin's Castle then?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was great, and they had a... You would go to... The food court was on the opposite end of the mall. Mm-hmm. They moved it and rebuilt it, and then the Burger King had, like... a whole massive seating section just to its own, which didn't make sense. Because, like, it was like a full full Burger King inside the food court, which, like, was weird to me.
It was I think the arcade was, Aladdin's was next to, like, the candy store there. There was, like, a candy store.
Right.
And then, of course, we talked about it last time. There's also Mr. Dunderbacks, which...
Yes.
After they left, I had no reason to go to the mall ever again.
I know. How do we... can we do a GoFundMe to rebuild Mr. Dunderbox in the mall?
I will. That's the... You wasted your wish on Zoltar. That's...
We did, yeah.
No, what did we do? We were supposed to be rich in chain restaurants and instead.
Right. So... Yeah, I think that the Mr. Dunderbox wish, I don't know, maybe...
We did find out there was, I think, one remaining in Florida.
Right, that's correct.
Tampa, or something.
Which is, I guess that's where chains go to die.
Road trip.
Can you imagine how horrifying it is? I really want to go there.
Yeah, I do too, because I looked at their Facebook page and I was like, oh, this looks really weird.
We need to go.
Road trip.
Yeah. Yeah, I would. I'm all for that.
100%.
Yeah. Because I also want to go to, I think Universal Studios are going to have a Nintendo theme park. Have you heard about that?
Yeah, that sounds actually...
Or, I don't know if it's part of Universal Studios, but it's in the same area, I think, right?
Why not Atari? Atari was the...
Atari theme park?
Atari theme park.
You
I'm showing my age.
Stuck in a giant Pong thing where you just...
That's true. They
have to keep dodging the ball, going back and forth.
I guess Atari really didn't have any marketable characters like Nintendo.
Well, would y'all go to this? I guess there'd be a Mario Kart, right? Would y'all do that? Would you partake in the Mario Kart?
Heck yeah!
You know, it'd be. I'm kind of curious how that's all. Is there going to be like a Bowser Land where it's like filled with fire and? I kind
of
wonder.
That's the part of the park I'm going to go to.
Okay. Yeah. Right.
Enter at your own risk.
Yeah, and there could be a Yoshi's Dinosaur Park. That could be pretty cool.
I could see, like, Super Mario Land being there, like, being, like, a trampoline park.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you just bounce around and bang your head into boxes with question marks on them.
But will there be...
Get gold coins.
But will there be mushrooms on hand to consume?
Nah.
That's the question. That's kind of what I'm wondering about. But... Speaking of eating mushrooms and games, you had a topic to bring up today, didn't you?
Sure. So let me ask you both something. What's your favorite current TV show? Or like a TV show you really like that lasted a bunch of seasons, really successful? Like a period thing. Like I liked Miami Vice growing up. I even dressed like Crockett from Miami Vice in high school.
Well, I have seen every episode of Beverly Hills 90210, so...
Sweet.
That's up there for sure.
I really love Parks and Recreation. I'm taking it to more recent times.
Very cool. So, I did a little research with a team of top scientists, and we came up with a list of some shows that were not very successful, particularly in the 80s of the action genre. So I have a list of 80s action TV show flops, starting with the most episodes to the bottom of the barrel that had the least amount per season. So the first one you might have heard of, 16 episodes, Misfits of Science. Have you ever heard of that?
No. Have you heard of that, Emily?
I have not.
Never.
This was a 1985 show. It was a mixture of fantasy and science fiction. It was a group of misfits like mutants that lived together. They had superpowers. Courtney Cox was one of the characters.
What?
And Dean Paul Martin, Dean Martin's son, played the Professor X of the group.
Okay. Wow, I've never heard of this. That's crazy.
This was a really fun series that was canceled due to low ratings and because it was going up against Dallas.
Oh.
You can't go up against JR and win.
Yeah. Who shot JR is always going to win. So.
Always going to win. So the second one, which also, this one only went 13 seasons, The Master on NBC. So see, in the late 80s, ninjas were all the rage.
Oh, right.
And so this was a show about Lee Van Cleef from Good, Bad, Ugly, Escape from New York.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. One of my favorites.
He played a ninja, an American ninja on the run. And
An American ninja?
An American ninja. the master follows the character of John Peter McAllister. All these characters have, like, really flowery names.
Right.
An American veteran who stayed in Japan following World War II and became a ninja master. He fled Japan and was being hunted by ninjas. And just as it turns out, he befriends another guy that gets his ass kicked in a bar fight and begins training him in the art of ninjutsu. And it was their adventures traveling across America being chased by ninjas. Mystery Science Theater did a parody of one of their episodes.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Notable guest stars include Demi Moore, Claude Atkins, George Lazenby, which was a one-time James Bond.
Oh, okay.
And it was canceled after 13 episodes. It said, despite the fact that this was a great period for action movies, TV shows, and video games centered around ninjas.
Wow. I can't imagine why that was canceled.
It was amazing. I actually remember watching that on TV when I was a kid. So the next one that has a character with the best name. So it's Street Hawk.
Oh.
I already love this.
ABC 13 episodes. And I actually watched this. Teen idol heartthrob Rex Smith starred as Jesse Mock, an amateur dirt bike racer and ex-police officer who was chosen to test an all-terrain attack motorcycle. Right there, that says it all. Right there.
Whoa, so...
That was the plot?
That was the premise of the show. As an amateur dirt bike racer and ex-police officer who's chosen to do an all-terrain attack motorcycle.
That had more than one episode?
Right.
It had more than 5 minutes?
It lasted 13 episodes on ABC.
Oh my God.
Why is this not still on TV?
Episodes worth of content?
I know. It is amazing. You can actually, it turns out you can buy it on this whole series on, or episodes on DVD. Most of these have their episodes released on DVD, or you can find them on YouTube.
That show only had one good season, let's be honest.
If your name's Jesse Mock, you can only go so far for your burnout.
Right.
I love that name. Jesse Mock.
Jesse Mock.
Yeah, that is.
Like,
that's
Mock 5.
Yeah, yeah. He should host.
Oh,
a,
it's like ACH, not OC.
That's MACH. Mock.
Oh, okay.
I was thinking it was.
You know what the best name I ever saw was? Just as a weird segue with this is so like a few years ago I was flying to London and I was at RDU and me, Melinda, my little kids were all there. And this guy, the pilots always get on the plane first, even before first class.
Yeah.
And the pilots are walking, you know, they have their little luggage they carry behind them. And I saw the pilot's tag, and I'm not shitting you on this. His name was Mac, M-A-C-K, Steel. Mac Steel with an E on the end. And I'm like, we are safe on this flight.
Is this guy like a really... creepy adult film star, and that sounds like almost like a...
This is an action film star right now.
Yeah, okay. He's the guy that saves everyone.
Oh, okay.
Max Steel, an American hero.
That's right. We were safe on that plane. I mean, if something happened, we would just do a barrel roll or something, and
yeah,
we'd be fine.
In relation to Peter Steele from Typo Negative, or do you think...
Who knows?
Yeah.
And then so. Steele family, anything goes.
Right.
So, the next one, Auto Man.
Okay.
Now, here's where the premise even gets more off the rails. A 13-episode series, one was unaired, so this is technically 12, going down, starring Desi Arnaz Jr., Desi Arnaz's Ricky of I Love Lucy,
yeah,
as Walter Niebacher, a computer expert who worked for the police department as a programmer, but his dream was to be a street cop. So he used his powers to develop Auto Man, a computer-generated crime fighter who was able to come off the computer and into the real world. It was compared to Tron, including a car that does at 90-degree angles and a little thing called Cursor that just follows him around.
Wow.
And the special effects are really bad. I mean, if you just Google it, Auto Man.
You know, I really wish we were watching all of these right now.
I would watch that. Yeah, I'd watch Auto Man, I think.
Chuck Wagner played the role of Auto Man. It was crazy.
80s TV, just as an observation, I feel like 80s TV was just like no holds barred. Like, we don't need any, we don't really need to worry about like longevity or standards or anything. Oh, wow.
That was Auto Man.
That's a photo of...
Oh my, that's...
very bright.
Yeah, that's glowing. There's a lot of lasers on that suit.
Yeah, definitely if you're at home, Google Auto Man TV and...
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's...
And the special effects just didn't keep up with them. And funny thing is, I loved Tron growing. I still love Tron.
Yeah.
Wearing a Tron t-shirt.
Oh, yeah.
And I made my sister watch an episode with me. This is when she was, like, 18, going to the 9:30 club, sneaking off.
Oh, wow. And
watch an episode, and I don't think she's ever forgiven me for that.
Was she very... She just couldn't handle how bad it was, or she just...
She was probably bored stiff, but I thought it was the great... At the time, I thought it was, like, the most... The pinnacle of TV entertainment.
Even more than Knight Rider?
Actually, Knight Rider lasted 4 seasons, along with Airwolf.
Oh, Airwolf. Ooh.
Remember Airwolf?
I've never watched Airwolf. I've seen Knight Rider.
What is that? But...
Airwolf was actually... lasted 4 seasons. It was, like, about this... super attack helicopter, which segues to the next one, Blue Thunder. There was a movie
Blue Thunder.
Called Blue Thunder. Had Roy Schneider in it about this high-tech police helicopter, and this was an American drama series based on the movie of the same name. Lasted 11 episodes, and all the copter footage was just footage they took from the movie, so... You had, like, this limited pool that they just kept reusing over and over and over again. And Dana Carvey was on the show as character Clinton Wonderlove.
Oh.
Oh, he was real that big. Name is yes. amazing.
And it also starred...
It is a good name.
Also starring former professional American football players Bubba Smith and Dick Butkus.
Oh, that's another great name.
Great name. But it was canceled because ABC felt that it was similar to CBS's Airwolf, and they would not win the ratings battle. And they also, once again, like the other show, they went up against Dallas.
You can't go up against Dallas. It'll never pan out.
I can do one more if you want to do music after this one, because this next one is like got the best name ever.
Sure.
Bad Cats. B-A-D. It's just getting worse.
Bad Cats?
What even is this about?
Okay. 10 episodes.
Not even like a full season, right?
Nick Donovan and Ochi Games are former race car drivers who are hired by the LAPD because of their superior driving skills. They are to become members of the newly formed Bad Cats Division, which stands for Burglary Auto Detail Commercial Auto Thieves. Joining them in their fight is Officer Samantha Jensen, a very young Michelle Pfeiffer.
Oh.
So a lot of, like, these really famous stars got their start on these really bad 80s show. But wow. I love how it's Burglary Auto Detail Commercial Auto Thefts. Bad Cats. B-A-D Cats.
I can see why they made it into an acronym.
That's right. 10
it's a
episodes.
Mouthful.
Well, I know it's not 80s. I think it was from 1990. But you made me think of Cop Rock. Have we talked about Cop Rock before?
We need to talk about Cop Rock. I remember
Emily,
Cop
have
Rock.
You seen Cop Rock before?
I have not.
So it's a... How would you describe Cop Rock, Chris?
It was like, like a gritty New York cop show, if it was a musical.
Well, that sounds horrifying.
It was. I think that was on, like, ABC, and it lasted, like, 6 episodes or something.
It was like Glee meets... NYPD Blue or something like that.
But it was like Glee minus the irony or like the winking at the camera.
They took it seriously.
It was like a serious cop drama with musical numbers all throughout the episode.
My partner got shot.
Yeah, it's like...
it tears me apart.
I guess my question is, should I see it?
Yes. They do have the complete collection on Amazon, so on DVD, so it's definitely worth a watch. But they... I remember it was on one of those, I forget what cable channel it was, but they used to have this series on one of the cable channels that was like, you know, they would just show like wacky shows from the past that had been canceled. And like, I was eating dinner with my mom and I just put that on and didn't say anything. And my mom was like, what the heck are we watching right now? And oh, Bad Cats, there you go, there's a picture of Bad Cats.
So B-A-D has like periods after it like it's an acronym, but Cats doesn't.
But even though it still stood for an acronym, it makes...
Yeah, so I mean, is it implying that there's cats? If there's cats in it, I'll watch it. Yeah, for sure.
Burglary Auto Detail Cats. If it just had cats, it would have lasted 10 episodes, but
that's true.
Maybe more. I like cats.
Me too. Well, the Cop Rock thing was just funny because the the fact that this show made it to network TV, and I saw an interview with, I think, one of the creators, one of the directors, and he was talking about how it was one of, basically, how, what an important show it was. And like years later, he's talking about how important it was and how it was like a, you know, forefather of all these other shows. And I was like, okay, man.
What was the importance of it?
It was ahead of its time, man.
Yeah, because it's like, you know, maybe there's a reference to Glee in there where it's like, okay, this is a show that had musical numbers in it. But it was also a cop show, so it didn't really fit because you have this police chief, you know, serenading his, all of his police officers with a, you know, a musical number about how, called Let's Be Careful Out There, like when they're going on a mission. Like, it's as bad as it, as it sounds.
It sounds pretty great. Or it sounds amusing.
It is amusing, yeah. And so I got my mom to watch it sometimes because she was like, oh my God, that show is so ridiculous. Like, I can't believe that was on TV. So we watched probably every episode, and we were just kind of like mesmerized by how insane it was. But anyway, yeah. Yeah, the whole, and yeah, like you were saying, with all these 80s shows, it just seemed like they were just throwing whatever they could at the wall just to see what would stick.
Yeah, I mean, and trust me, the second half of this, it just gets more outlandish, and the number of episodes just keeps going down.
Well, good. I love it. So
we started at the top. But I don't know if any of these could match Cop Rock. But I think every generation or every decade has its own bizarre, like Cop Rock. How did that fly? But yet it did.
Right, and the fact that it made it through six episodes is kind of remarkable. So
they should be proud.
They should. Yeah, that's right.
I'm surprised they'd have been like a medical drama with singing.
I mean, that would almost make more sense than like a cop show. I just feel like the cop show is just so awkward. Like,
cardiac arrest, give him a shock.
I mean, that I don't know. Maybe it's worth doing a revisit to it. What do you think?
I think maybe Cop Rock just needs to be updated to this generation. You know, with more modern music and a new flair.
I'd watch it.
Yeah. I'd be all for it.
Well, we're gonna play a couple tunes. What do you think? Should we play some tunes?
I like tunes.
Well, good. Sure. So we're gonna play the
Cop Rock.
No.
Oh.
<We're> some... Not at all. But we gotta play your Australian track of the week, because I know you're dying to hear it. It's a band called Banana Gun.
I've heard of them.
And yeah, they're from Geelong, Australia, and they have a new 7-inch single out on the Anti-Fade Records label. It's called Do Yeah. And we're going to play the B-side, Top Cat. And that's goes out to a cat named Tater Tot. Now, he's a top cat.
Now, is the top,
is top cat
T-O-P cats? Is it like...
T-O-P, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely an acronym.
It could be like the predecessor.
The only cat, predator yes. cat.
There we go.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
He is quite
a predator. Bad cats paved the way for top cats.
Right. Also,
life.
Also discovered a goth band from Asheville, North Carolina.
Ooh.
They're called Secret Shame. And we're going to play their hit track, Who Died in Our Backyard. That's the name of the track. So that's, I feel like, that's a very dark, sinister kind of, you know, song, you know, that's
a lot of brooding.
Either that or they were having Fight Club in the backyard. And
we don't talk about that.
Yeah. You're right. So yeah, we're going to play the Feel Good Hit of the Summer, Who Died in Our Backyard. And after that, I mean, God, I don't know. So yeah. So, but as promised, here's your Australian track of the week, Banana Gun. And yeah, we'll be back in a little bit. Thank you.
of yourself. Take a hold of yourself. Take a break, a remember the time. Chase a break, a remember the time. Burn my mind and the end.
Check, check, 1, 2, 1, 2. Are we on?
We are on.
All right. We are always on, especially if Chris is here. So.
Like Donkey Kong.
Yeah. So you are indeed listening to Damaged Goods on Little Riley Radio. And my name is Matt Dunn, also known as DJ Two-Headed Dog. And who do I have in the studio with me again?
I'm Chris Lahr, a.k.a. DJ Doonsting. And with us is...
Emily, a.k.a. still don't have a DJ name.
I like it.
That could be your DJ name. DJ No Name.
Right.
DJ No Name. There we go. I like the sound of that.
Yeah.
Nice.
Me too.
We are in agreement.
Speaking of liking sounds, I was really liking while we were just playing there. We heard, the last track you heard was a band from Oakland, California. They're called The World. Although it's kind of confusing to call yourself The World when you're only located in one city. Don't you think that's kind of like...
But if you think about it, together, we are the world.
Oh, that's true. We are.
We're the children.
We are, indeed. But, yeah, we'd interviewed them on the show a couple of years ago. They had played a great show at Duke's Coffee House. But that was a brand new track for them. It's called White Radish. Because who doesn't love a good white radish, you know, with your...
I had radish in my lunch today.
Oh, so that's... There you go. Yeah. And that's off of their new Reddish LP, which is coming out on March the 20th. And before that, you heard a really cool band out of Brooklyn, New York. They're called Future Punks. That's Punks with an X, by the way.
Extreme.
Yeah, and that was a track called Do It Again. And that's off of their upcoming album. It's called The World is a Mess, which is true. Very true. That's a very accurate statement.
They had a very, very early Oingo Boingo kind of vibe to them, I thought. I dug it.
Yeah, they have a few albums out, and so they definitely have a cool kind of new wave sound, which is funny because Future's in their name, but they kind of a throwback sound. Maybe that's like an ironic thing.
Clever.
The kid's still into irony, or is that not really in it anymore? I don't know.
You have to have a beard and like craft beer.
Yeah, I guess so. So I don't think anyone... Yeah, I don't think in the band... They don't have any beards in the band, so I'll have to work on that, I guess. But...
You can't grow a beard until you start drinking the craft beer. It helps grow the beard.
Yeah, you're right about that. But before Future Punks, we heard some, at least local to us, music from Asheville, North Carolina. That was Secret Shame.
Shame.
And that was their feel-good hit song, Who Died in Our Backyard. And that's off of their self-titled LP from 2018. And yeah, do they really answer that question, or did it just leave us with more questions? Like, why did someone die in their backyard? Like, what was the...
I think we're always left with more questions.
I think you're right about that. So that's... Yeah, that was, but that was cool there. I know, I haven't seen that band yet, but I would like to. So, Secret Shame, I'm sure you're listening right now, and, y'all should play another show in Raleigh. That'd be cool, but.
And don't be too, and don't let your shame be a secret. Share it with the world.
Right.
We're here for you, damaged goods.
We are. And,
just want to help.
Before that, you heard your Australian track of the week. That was a band called Banana, and the song was called Top Cat, that goes out to Tater, if you're listening, Tater. And that was Emily. Do you think Tater would be that'd be the kind of music he'd be into, or do you think,
you know, yeah, I think that he would really enjoy that. He's been looking to broaden his horizons, and I think he should look to other continents.
Okay, so
you know, sweet music.
You think he's willing to give a kind of a psychedelic Australian band a chance?
I think he is.
Okay, well, that's good.
Yeah. It's good to have an open mind, Tater.
Yeah.
You know, he's a cat of particular taste, and I feel like he would really like that band.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Is he a bad cat?
You know what? I ask him every day, and he always answers me, yes.
So he's also part of the burglary auto detail commercial auto thefts division of the LAPD.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Although I think he would be kind of like, if he was to be personified, he wouldn't be like the brightest crayon in the box, if you will. Brightest light bulb. I don't know. He's not really a smart cat. He's cute, but he's not smart.
Not the sharpest knife in the drawer.
Yeah.
That's why he's a bad cat.
Not the sharpest light bulb in the lamp.
Right. Not the whitest radish in Chris's salad. So, as they say.
Exactly how I would describe it.
Right.
Well, simile.
That's right. But yeah, as we mentioned before, that was the song was Top Cat, and I was off of the Do Ya 7-inch off of the Anti-Fade Records label. And that's a band out of Geelong, Australia, a town I've never been to, but I would like to go, so.
Is Top Cat an acronym? Like bad cats?
I feel like it should be. Like Taco Cat is like same backwards, like, you know, like that's got kind of a cool...
The palindrome thing.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay.
So, but I guess Top Cat does not quite fit the same criteria, but that's okay. You know,
I mean, I guess you could just say it backwards, but...
Tack pot.
That stuff's good, man.
Not the same thing, but has a nice ring.
Yeah.
Tack pot's awesome.
Exactly. But yeah, so we were discussing before part two of this. Oh, and what was this list that you had? It was
this was 80s action TV show flops that lasted less than a season. So
that's right.
We started with 16 episodes, went 13, 12, 10. Now we're going to 8 with... And if you thought Bad Cats had the best name ever, oh, you're in for a treat, because next is Manimal.
All right, I'm intrigued.
8 episodes. Yeah. The show lasted 8 episodes here. Handsome Simon McCorkindale was Jonathan Chase, a professor at New York University who taught animal behavioral sciences. This fit in well with a special power, the ability to transform into any animal at will, which he used to fight crime. Co-starred Ursula Andress.
So what I want to know is, what animals did he turn into to fight crime? Because that is what it all hinges upon.
I think like birds and panthers and stuff like that. Tigers.
Birds and panthers.
Like eagle, like an eagle.
You know, what if he just turned into like
a gerbil?
Yeah. Like a hamster. He's just like crawling around on the floor.
Bad hamster.
And little, like,
gets in the ball and chases people.
Yeah.
I would actually watch that.
I can see how it only lasted, you know, a certain amount of episodes, because I don't think that would really translate well into like multiple episodes. Mm-hmm. What if he has to turn into a different animal each episode?
So that would be clever.
It's like a crime fighting platypus.
Justice hamster.
Yeah.
When he's not peeing some cedar shavings, he's fighting crime on the mean streets of L.A.
I could see somebody like fighting crime as a panther for sure.
Yeah,
like a large, predatorial cat maybe,
or an eagle like scoping out the bad guys from
yeah.
From
there
afar.
We go. But I don't know, the smaller animal like a rabbit, you know, that's not gonna
maybe he turns into like a snake. I could
a
see
crime fighting snake.
I could see snake.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you just like scare people away. Like a lot of people are scared of snakes.
Yeah.
Yeah, then.
There we go. Manimal.
There is a falcon sitting on the woman's head.
On her head. Yes, Google. Oh, there he is in a tux. Yeah, Google Manimal.
Are those walruses to either side of him? Or am I just not seeing that
right?
I don't have my glasses on.
It's like a dog.
I was pretty sure those are tusks.
Right, it does look like a tusk. Yeah,
crime-fighting walrus.
He does crime-fighting walruses.
Uses those flippers to knock the guns out of people's hands.
I mean, they're pretty big and scary, right? So
yeah.
I'd be pretty horrified if I saw one coming at me and I was...
So two more left here. This next one actually was interesting because one of the best TV shows, I'd say, in the last couple of years. You ever seen Westworld?
Yeah, I love Westworld.
It's actually a good show. So turns out in... from March 5th, 1980 to March 19th, 5 episodes, there was Beyond Westworld.
Oh, wow.
On CBS.
Really? I didn't know that.
The Delos Corporation manufactured robots that ran amok in the future film's Westworld. The plot of this small screen series had mad scientist Simon Quaid taking control of the robots and using them to rule the world. So a crack team has to go in and stop them. Lovely Connie Selica did not appear in the pilot, but she appeared in future episodes, as did George Takei. 5 episodes. And then our last one, 4 episodes, and this is where the plot really goes off the rail. And I'm just going to read this verbatim, and I am not making this up. And I actually saw this show when I was young. I thought it was cool. But I watched recently when I was doing this on YouTube, and I was like, man, this was bad. The Phoenix, 4 seasons, March 19th to April 16th, 1982. Blonde-haired, blue-eyed Judson Scott was Binu of the Golden Light, an ancient extraterrestrial who was wakened from his sleeping place in Peru. Binu was an enlightened being who was socially responsible, kind, nonviolent, and environmentally aware. He had the powers of telekinesis, levitation, and astral projection. His powers were given to him by a special amulet he wore around his neck and got his power from the sun. 9 episodes were planned, 4 were only filmed. And...
So what were those special powers again?
Telekinesis, levitation, astral projection. His strength and powers... were given to him by a special phoenix amulet, which he wore around his neck.
And it says his main purpose was to find his mate, Mira, who came from the planet Elberon some 40,000 years earlier. Without her, he has no clue what his mission is. And, of course, there's some creepy scientists chasing him around trying to capture him.
And you watched this when it came on originally?
This and Auto Man, yes.
So you watched all the, like, ridiculous shows back in the day.
Oh, yeah. Remember, this is back when you only had, like, three networks.
That's true, yeah. So it's not like now where there's, like, 100 channels. And
yeah, we didn't.
It's before we had the internet, you lousy young kids.
Before you kids were watching MTV all day. And,
yeah. Well, we had that.
I was just trying to say, you know, because, you know, I don't think anyone even watches MTV anymore.
My dad was too cheap to pay for cable, so we literally had the three networks, PBS, and maybe a couple of UHS channels.
Oh, right.
All you got.
That's exactly what happened to me, too. And everyone always references all these, like, Nickelodeon shows. And I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Yeah, like, these 90s Nickelodeon shows. Like, my parents weren't paying for that.
Yeah, my parents didn't pay for that. You know, and, you know, it's like, this is what we had. So it's like, if you think about only four channels, man, Automan sounds pretty awesome and compared to
Staring at a wall.
Right. Well, that's fair.
Playing Pong on my Atari.
Or listening to Casey Kasem's Countdown on... actually, I would love to listen to that.
Every Sunday.
Yes.
Sunday morning.
Keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
Well, so you jogged my memory. I had a couple of shows, if we could talk about it. They're not from... neither one's from the 80s, but I feel like they fit in with the bizarre...
They're worthy of conversation.
So
let's do it.
Do any of you remember? There's a show from 1996. It was called Aliens in the Family.
No,
do you remember that?
That one I haven't heard.
So this was an American science fantasy sitcom that aired on ABC as part of its TGIF lineup. And it was a show. Okay, so I was just going to read this premise here. Again, I'm not making up a... the show is about a single dad, Doug Brody, who is abducted by a single alien mom, Cookie. The two fall in love, get married, and try to live a normal life on Earth as a mixed family. Much of the series' humor was derived from gags involving the assimilation of the alien family into everyday life, despite being pink and having massive heads. Everyone on Earth seems to accept their presence, and in spite of possessing technology far superior to that of Earth, the aliens all go about their everyday lives in the same fashion as all the humans. And the puppets, it's a show with puppets that were designed by Jim Henson's Creature Shop.
Well, that's kind of cool.
And although not the focus of the show, the character to receive the most attention in episodes was Bobutt, Cookie's infant son. Baby.
Oh my god, I just looked
at little pictures of this.
So they were trying to assimilate into Earth society because
right.
They kind of look like giant, like, frog people.
Right, yeah, they do.
I mean, there's one that has, like, some kind of, like, eyelash stalks coming out of out of their eyes.
What the hell? Now I'm looking at it.
Oh, God. This is horrifying.
The baby looks like a little baby Admiral Akbar from Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, yeah. That's...
it's a trap!
Like, they really do look like some cross between, like...
like a crustacean...
yeah, like a hermit crab type thing in a frog.
Also, the theme song for the show was written and performed by Todd Rundgren.
Ooh.
Which is, like, ridiculous. Like,
if you want to talk about rad people doing TV show themes, one of the shows in the 80s that was successful for four seasons was The Equalizer, like about an ex-spy. Uh-huh. You know, did the soundtrack to that one?
Who?
Mr. Stuart Copeland.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Well,
very synthy.
Then this one, I think it lasted 8 episodes, believe it or not.
Such a hit.
Although one of the episodes is called Cookie Makes Some Dough, which I feel like I want to watch that one first. But the show, I remember my cousin was really into it at the time. He loved the show, but it got canceled because I think people complained that that it was creepy. It was too creepy for, like, family you know, TV is just too creepy and weird. So,
I mean, I would say if the first reaction when you see a picture of it is, oh my God.
Right.
This is probably a little too weird.
Right. And then there's a thing.
Did they not test it with any test audiences and see people's horrified reactions when they saw the aliens?
Well, it got apparently, I guess, Steve Urkel, a.k.a. Jaleel White, was a vocal critic of TGIF adding Jim Henson programs onto the TGIF block and speculated that their addition ruined the block's credibility by changing its target demographic from whole families to children.
Steve Urkel's hot takes.
Yeah, exactly. So he was... And I feel like they were probably like, you know, that show Dinosaurs was very successful.
I remember that.
Which is a great show.
I'm the baby!
I think it's still like a fun show to watch, but... Aliens in the Family, though, I mean, I don't think it was really popular to begin with too much, but it's just funny that you know, Steve Urkel had that much of a hot take on it. But anyway, yeah, so there's Aliens in the Family. But the other one, this one I've never actually seen. The Aliens in the Family show I saw on TV, and I was just like, I mean, I was young at the time, but even still, I was like, why the hell is this on TV? Like, yeah. You know,
the only TGIF Friday one I remember was Family Matters and the one with
Full House.
Full House,
yeah.
The one with that guy that got filthy.
Bob Saget,
yeah.
Step by Step, too.
Yes.
Right? Wasn't that a TGIF?
That was with Suzanne Summers, yeah.
Yeah.
Thighmaster.
Yeah, that's right, exactly. but this other one I was talking about was from 1965 to 1966, and it's called My Mother the Car. Have you heard of My Mother the Car?
I've not, but I'm intrigued.
It was an American fantasy sitcom that aired for a single season on NBC between 1965 and 66, and they made 30 episodes of it. The premise features a man whose deceased mother communicates with him through a car radio.
What?
Yes, this is bad. This is way crazier than Alien Show, I think. So it was parodied later on The Simpsons with the Love-matic Grandpa. If you remember the Love Machine, that's voiced by Grandpa Simpson.
Treehouse of Horror thing.
It was on the Simpsons spinoff Showcase, which was. But it sounds like, yeah, it sounds like a Treehouse of Horror thing. So the show follows the exploits of attorney David Crabtree, not to be confused with local WRL anchor David Crabtree, but played by Jerry Van Dyke, who, while shopping at a used car lot for a station wagon to serve as a second family car, instead purchases a dilapidated 1928 Porter touring car. Crabtree hears the car call his name in a woman's voice. The car turns out to be the reincarnation of his deceased mother, Gladys. She talks only to Crabtree through the car's radio. The dial light flashes in synchronization with Mother's voice. In an effort to get his family to accept the old, tired car, Crabtree brings it to a custom body shop for a full restoration. The car is coveted by a fanatical collector named Captain Manzini, but Crabtree purchases and restores the car before Manzini can acquire it. For the rest of the series, Crabtree is pursued by the avaricious Captain Manzini, who is determined to acquire the valuable automobile by hook or by crook. In a running gag characterizing his shifty nature, Manzini, who resembles a 1920s silent film villain, always mangles Crabtree's name when speaking to him. Now then, Crabapple. That's Crabtree. Whatever. And it's just talking about some of the other people in the cast, but
how did the pitch go at the studio? Like, hey, I got this great idea. Stay with me. We have a guy. His mom is the car.
Well, you're not going to believe it. The song. Well, the people who created the show also created Rocky and Bullwinkle, The Munsters, and Get Smart. So it's like...
Those were good shows.
Yeah, right. It's like... But they were like... I guess maybe they got too arrogant, and they're like, oh, we can do anything now.
If people accept a shoe phone, they'll accept anything.
Well, I guess the theme's music was composed and conducted by Ralph Carmichael, and it was written... I guess it was used in an episode of Arrested Development, also called My Mother the Car. So there you go.
Yep.
And... Yeah, the It's just so, yeah, this is just so bizarre that well, the car was sold at an auction in 2017 at a festival in Lakeville, Connecticut for, guess how much?
$3,000.
Wrong.
Oh, I mean in 60s dollars, which would be like $80,000 now, I guess.
Incorrect. Do you have a guess?
Are we adjusting for inflation?
Or? This is for current prices.
So. Oh, current prices. I'm going to go, I don't know, $500,000.
$50,000.
So I was way off. I shouldn't play Price is Right.
Well, that's okay, because I was looking at some of the episode names here. There's this one really sticks out to me. What makes Auntie freeze? Like so David's forced to drive his mother to a mountaintop wedding, but along the way she gets drunk on antifreeze. That I've got to watch.
Wait.
Yeah, the car. Yeah, his mother, the spirit of his mother in the car gets drunk on antifreeze.
How? I feel like I need to see this.
Yeah,
it baffles me how that's a full episode of TV.
Right.
Does it drive him off the road, or like tenses the driving cat like off a cliff or something like that? And
yeah, what happens if a car gets drunk?
Is it still drunk driving?
Does her spirit drive the car though? Because I feel like it doesn't really. I've got a lot of questions.
My vote is that because I keep reading these episode descriptions, and I think we just need to do a podcast about reviewing My Mother the Car, because it just sounds.
Oh yeah, there we go.
Does he have control over her, or does she have control? Is she like Herbie that that can do whatever she wants?
Here's another. There's one called Burned at the Stake, which is steak as in the food steak. When his mother encourages him to meddle in their quarreling neighbor's affairs, Dave inexplicably winds up breaking up their marriage. So I guess maybe his mother is kind of in charge.
That's really serious. Is it supposed to be a comedy?
Well,
this show's ahead of its time.
Well, then the next one is called I'm Through Being a Nice Guy. And
it's a dramedy.
I think it is. Yeah, Captain Manzini launches Operation Unscrupulous.
That name, Unscrupulous.
And now he replicates the porter, hires a trio of thieves to steal the original, and establishes an airtight alibi for himself. So he's like clones the car, basically.
So this guy is like obsessed with stealing this haunted car.
Does he know it's haunted, or does he just want the car?
I have so many questions here.
I wonder if this inspired Christine.
We need a lot of
Stephen
answers.
King.
I mean, it must have. Stephen but like King. that's just if it was in a world gone horribly wrong.
Stephen King just evil-fied the car.
There was two ways that could go. One was a dramedy, one was just absolute horror.
Yeah.
Well, also there's another episode called My Son the Ventriloquist.
That already sounds
God
really
damn it.
Scary.
with the help of his mother, Dave lands a new client by pretending to be a ventriloquist, like okay.
This is where they're like, okay, we got one episode left before we cancel your ass.
Well, that was episode 10. We're still 20 episodes in.
Oh, shit.
Episode 11, Emily, I feel like you would like this one. It's called My Son the Judge. Dave is up for a job as a judge, but complications ensue when he gets a pair of roller skates stuck on his feet.
They're stuck on his feet? Like, are they glued to his feet? What does this have to do with a haunted car? Does the car do it? Is this like a magical thing? Like what genre of
so many
car
unanswered questions
are we talking about?
Well, I think fantasy sitcom. Yeah. So I guess it's like blurs the line there. Like it's yeah, like you dramedy. You kind of probably described it best, but there's also one and Leave the Drive-In to Us, which is a. For his mother's birthday, Dave decides to take the family to the drive-in, but the evening is mostly a disaster. Also, there's For Whom the Horn Honks, which, in order to get his mitts on the porter, Captain Manzini fakes a terminal illness. Oh. Is this like the Make-A-Wish
Manzini,
Foundation?
Manzini, what are you doing?
Manzini's a bastard.
Manzini's got problems. Yeah. He's just that's how bad he wants this haunted car that apparently can also tie roller skates to people's feet permanently.
It's okay. Episode 17, I Remember Mama, why can't you remember me? And the
she drank too much antifreeze.
Well, not quite, but Dave's mother gets amnesia following a fender bender.
Uh-oh. That's the
and it just keeps getting better these episodes.
The tuna.
I kind of like this show. The other ones I could see, you know, why they didn't last.
Yeah, this just sounds amazing to me. So, episode 18, Gold Porter, Captain Manzini. You know, he's
I'm gonna stop that.
He's still in the picture.
He is. He uses a hypnotic drug on Dave to get him to agree to sell the porter.
What? But you know he gets it back because there's like what? How many more episodes?
There's like
12 more.
Yeah. So, oh my God. 22 is a Riddler on the roof. Dave and his mother try to thwart the assassination of a visiting dignitary.
Holy shit! It's like dark.
What?
Mancini's gone off the rails now. He just wants murder.
I have to see this now.
I know. It's,
although it sounds like maybe it's one of those things that sounds way more epic than it actually is.
I don't know. I mean, I don't see how.
I have to at least see the one where the car gets drunk off antifreeze and take notes. I've got a lot of questions.
I want to see the roller skate one.
How does that magic work?
It's called My Mother, the Car.
Yes, it is. So, episode 27, Absorba the Greek. A prudish building owner hires Dave to close down a nightclub he claims is indecent. Dave and Barbara go to check out the place and end up masquerading as exotic Greek dancers.
What? That's a whole episode?
That is, and
I just can't believe it.
The blabbermouth. Barbara learns the truth when she walks into the garage and catches Dave and Mother talking. In no time, the secrets...
Dave and Mother.
Mother.
Wait, so it's been that long? She didn't know that they were talking. He was talking to his car.
That was episode 28.
His car was alive, and he was talking to it. It's a long time to go without figuring that out.
Well, this sounds really wrong because the next to last episode is When You Wish Upon a Car. And Mother leads Cindy and Randy to believe that she's a genie who makes wishes come true when they rub her with a magic cloth.
No.
The Crabtree kids are soon charging other youngsters to rub and make a wish.
Oh my God.
Mother is basking in the attention, but Dave wants it to stop immediately.
Don't rub my mother!
Dave should want it to stop immediately.
And the last one, they're trying to stop a jewelry store robbery, so...
That's real normal.
The unfilmed episode.
That's what I would expect out of this show.
Mother gets the lube.
I like the Crabtree kids. That's
right.
Great.
So, it says that it was on Hulu at one point. I'm not sure if it still is, but there is a DVD box set of it out, which contains 30 episodes, although the laugh track has been removed from the DVD set. Aww.
Well, how will we know when it's funny?
I know, it's exactly. Like, Mother, I told you to stop drinking antifreeze.
But we're just going to think it's serious.
Right, so we're going to be like, oh my God.
We're
going to
be like leaning into the TV like, ooh, what's happening next, and not realizing it's a bad joke.
Is that it, you want the box set for your birthday that's coming up?
I mean, that would be... that would be...
That's it. That's your request?
And Bambi's mother was the grandma in the in this TV show. Paula Winslow, so that's... There you go.
Episode 29, The Demolition Derby. Mother gets irreparable brain damage after getting slammed multiple times.
I mean, I feel like, you know, that's a...
It gets dark.
What I feel like, you know, yeah, you could do 30 episodes of a podcast where you just watch each episode and just talk about...
Yeah, that's what we're going to do, right?
Yeah, I mean...
Mother the Car Cast.
I never really read the... I've seen like a clip or two of the show, but reading the descriptions of the episodes really makes me want to watch it because it just seems like insane. So, yeah.
Well, once you get that DVD box set, you're going to have no choice.
Well, it's funny. The co-creator went on to create Mary Tyler Moore Show, and a couple of things I'm not, Rhoda and Lou Grant. So they, I guess, had some success. So
Rhoda and Lou Grant were spinoff characters from Mary Tyler Moore.
Also, James L. Brooks, who went on to executive produce The Simpsons, was a part of this. TV Guide proclaimed it to be the second worst TV show of all time.
What?
Yes.
My Mother, the Car was yes. the second worst? What was the actual worst?
Jerry Springer.
Well, no way.
That's what they said. Yeah, which
that
I think...
That means this show was under Maury Povich. That's... Oh.
There was also XFL, the football league that was...
The pro wrestling turn football.
Right, and there's ABC's The Brady Bunch Hour, which I think was like a variety show with The Brady Bunch, I think.
Who gave those people a whole hour?
Hogan's Heroes.
Hogan's Heroes kicked ass. Okay, I fight that one. That I loved Hogan's Heroes.
Well, also on the list was Celebrity Boxing, After MASH, which... I don't think anyone watched After MASH, did
I
they?
Watched one episode of that.
Okay.
It was the 80s. We did crazy things.
Cop Rock was on the list, of course. You're in the Picture and Hee Haw Honeys, which I did not know was a show. Hee Haw Honeys.
I remember Hee Haw, but not. I never heard of Hee Haw Honeys.
Yeah, that's a new one to me. So
I'm old.
Well,
Doonsting yells at Cloud.
Exactly. So, yeah, well, so now you got to do your homework, go home and watch My Mother's the Car.
I just looked at the picture of it on online, and it's not even like a cool-looking car. It's like one of those old-time buggy cars your great-grandfather would take on a Sunday drive.
I mean, somebody's mom is not going to be a cool car.
It's not going to be like a sleek Ferrari or something like that.
Yeah, it's gonna be like a minivan.
I'm still kind of wigged out about the episode where they're letting kids rubber. That's just kind of fucked up.
Yeah, episode description is weird.
Yeah, this was the 60s where TV was all like squeaky clean, basically.
Do they play like blue music in the back? Waka 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 waka.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Yeah, so we're almost out of town, but we do have a few more things to mention. There was a man in Oregon that was trapped in the snow recently, and I think he survived for 6 days on Taco Bell sauce packets.
I read
that.
Did
you hear about that? That was
I did not hear about that.
I heard about that. That is epic.
He did.
He was trapped in there with like his dog or his cat or something, like a pet.
So yeah, it says, oh, that's right, his dog Allie in the snow in Wake Boot, Oregon, for 5 days, and a snowmobiler found him. They survived by using a few taco sauce packets he had as food.
Well, you know, the spice preserves life. The spice expands consciousness.
Well, now Taco Bell is giving him free Taco Bell for a year. So
only a year?
Yeah, just a year.
I'm sorry, that doesn't warrant Taco Bell for life.
Yeah, I think we should.
I mean, what's that going to be out of their budget? Like $11, $12? I mean,
yeah,
Taco Bell's cheap as fuck.
Crunchwrap's forever.
Yeah,
Crunchwraps for life. That's kind of hard to say.
Mexican pizza. It's all.
Oh yeah, Mexican pizza's for life.
Absolutely.
Although, Matt, I remember you said you liked their cinnamon twists.
Yes, I do, actually.
You said he would fight me on that one, so I was like, oh, no.
Wow.
I would, yeah.
It's intense.
Right. Well, maybe some Taco Bell and My Mother the Car marathon soon, so.
I'm down. I'm not a big Taco Bell fan, but I will break that rule to watch for this show.
All right. Well, that's now what we're doing on Mother's Day. So
we can all dress up like characters. Dibs on Manzini.
I mean, Taco Bell and My Mother the Car seem like they would pair well together.
Right.
Full of cheese, if you will.
Nice. Very good. Well done.
Yeah, I always. Yeah, and I think that I mean, there's always been bad shows on TV, but I think certain, like, all the 80s ones you mentioned just really stand out for just how kind of outlandish they were.
Yes.
Because now I think a lot of bad TV is, like, reality TV. It's, like, a different kind of bad. But I like the bad action shows. Like, yeah, those are fun.
You know, what made them funny was they weren't trying to be funny. They were like... Jesse Mock, he rides a 300-mile-per-hour motorcycle, ex-dirt bike rider, cop. You know, you know, they were like all serious about it. They weren't trying to be like ironically funny. They thought this was like hardcore badass. And then the as it ages, it's like, man, that was really cheesy.
Pretty much.
If you want to watch an old show that has like terrible special effects, but the way they filmed it and the stories are really awesome. You ever heard of a show called The Prisoner?
Is that the show that's referenced by Iron Maiden?
I think so. It's about this guy.
He's on The Prisoner, I think.
It's about this guy that's trapped on an island.
Is he like, I'm not a number, I'm a free man?
Yeah.
That song.
That's a great show.
I just know the song by Iron Maiden, so that's...
Yeah, it's like this ex-spy that gets trapped on an island and he can't escape and like... He can't leave and all these weird things happen to him. They're like these subtle tricks to get him to confess and join the enemy side. It's really weird, but it's really well filmed.
Well, we're going to have to leave it at that.
Fair enough.
But until next time, we'll have to come up with some more wacky hijinks.
Thank you for having me again. I really enjoyed my time here.
Yes.
And it was so nice to meet you, Emily.
Oh, nice to meet you, too.
You were both super awesome.
Oh, well, thank you. And thank you for coming on as well, Emily.
Yes.
Of course. I hope to have a DJ name in the future.
I like it.
I like it.
Future, maybe something incorporating some of the subjects we talked about.
Oh, yeah. I'll go home and, you know, just brainstorm.
DJ Manzini.
DJ Manzini. There we go.
My mother, I survived in the snow with my mother, the car, with Taco Bell sauce packets.
DJ Fire Sauce.
Yeah. DJ Fire Sauce. DJ Taco Bell sauce packet.
There you go.
It's a little wordy, but I think I can rock it.
Yeah, you definitely can rock it.
Right.
Doing a dog, DJ Fire Sauce packet, and Dune Sting.
And tune in next week for, I don't know, something.
Something awesome. Something wonderful.
Actually, we'll have an interview with the band Death Wish. The band out of Melbourne, Australia, that I interviewed recently. So there you go.
Excellent.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.